Hey everyone, great episode of The Morning Show today. We talked about the crypto rally continuing in February as Bitcoin posted a 10% gain yesterday. We also talked about the state of Ethereum and Solana NFTs and the difference between the two, and a little bit of Nick FOMO on ordinals. And lastly, we talked about Magic Eden's ETH NFT marketplace launching today at 11 a.m. Eastern, enforcing royalties once again, and what to make of it going forward. And lastly, we were joined by Mike, the CEO of Cryptthulu Studios, the team behind Dimension X, the free-to-play idle RPG game available on Ethereum and Flow. You can go play the game at DimensionXNFT.com to level up your hero, participate in a bunch of quests, and have a lot of fun playing the game. It was a joy to talk to him at the end of the show. Thanks again, and enjoy the rest of the show.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Nifty Morning Show. It is Tuesday, and we are back in action. We got an absolute heater of a show to bring to you all today. Things are pumping left and right. We are discussing the continued crypto pump. It's been a heater of a month so far. It's in February, a little 10% gain for Bitcoin yesterday. We have meme coin season taking off. Pepe, Bonk, Dog with Hat. It's madness out there. And then we have Magic Eden. They're launching their ETH NFT marketplace. We'll see how much traction that gets today. It's been a little bit controversial. Some projects really diving into it, some projects not. We're excited to break all that down. We have Nick. We have Miami Nick in action. He's getting set up still, but he looks fantastic. Same tree that I have, same plant. But easy. It's good to have you back. It's been a week since we last had you on camera. How was Paris?
Paris was good. I'm not a huge fan of the city, personally. I did say that I think it may be now at the top of my list, right ahead of New York for least favorite places. But Paris was good. Weather was kind of bad, I will say. But you can't blame a city on the weather. The conversation that Parisians don't like Americans definitely is a thing, for sure.
How was the food?
Food was all right. It was fine. Like, most European food. Definitely healthier, for sure. I think Sig gave me the alpha. I had macarons with Sig, and it was incredible.
Absolutely incredible. I think he's one of the best places for them. So, like, dude, the food in Paris is good, but you just have to ask, like, insiders where to go. Otherwise, it's completely meh, I have to admit. So you kind of got the meh experience. Sorry about that.
The conference was, hands down, though, like, one of the best conferences, I would say, for NFTs. Like, yeah. The people there, the networking opportunities, like, I had, dude, the panel I did at our house, the Rug Radio House, shout out them for having me moderate it, was with just pure heavy hitters. Like, the CEO of Animoca, Polygon Labs and their gaming vertical, Wanderers, and, oh man, I'm drawing a blank on the fourth person there. It was...
Sounds like a bunch of nobodies, am I right?
Yeah, it was, you know, absolute nobodies. Yeah, you know, your audio's a little quiet, Nick. Your audio's a little quiet.
Is it?
Yeah, a little quiet.
Interesting.
That's better.
You sound good. No, you sound fantastic. I will say,
I think that's an easy issue.
You sound maybe a little bit quiet, but I like, frankly, your audio, in terms of crispiness, it's really, really solid. You look good, Nick. I like
just upped it for you. Is that better?
That's better. Way better. Yeah. Now you're cash.
Oh, let's go.
Look at the audio master just coming through with absolute lessons on this. Look, I'm just telling you.
You look good too, man. You look good. That Miami glow is hitting you hard. Less than 24 hours in, it's already showing. When you move here, you're just gonna look like $1 million. You're gonna look like my bags after I just floored these Wassies on Clemente's community.
It's just the angle. I'm gonna be honest. In the light coming in through this window, Miami's probably one of my least favorite cities in the world. Mm. Easy, just absolute. I mean, have you seen the absolute homelessness just in the streets here? It's just,
I haven't, to be honest with you. No, I haven't. I really haven't. I haven't seen a single human being defecate on the sidewalks like when I'm in New York for about 14 minutes.
I did actually see two homeless people when I went to Target this morning. So that was, Miami is nice. It's a different setup. Like, I could go to the grocery store at 7 a.m. in New York. You can't do that here.
Nothing opens till 10 a.m. Most people are still out till 7.
I was hanging out with, I would say the elderly crowd at Target, but Wynwood is not popping off with the old people. You know,
a lot of 20-year-olds, a lot of late 20-year-olds, a lot of Latinas or Latinos, I would say. But
was that a little slip there? You're just talking for yourself.
Nick, I'm glad you're enjoying Miami. It's a lot warmer than New York, and you look fantastic. I'm going to kick us off because we have a lot to discuss.
Yeah. One quick note, just last note here. You do realize P.O.'s not here for one reason, right?
What's that?
I'm pretty certain he went on a date last night.
Oh!
Pretty certain he went on a date last night. He wasn't responding to any of my texts, and they were of utmost importance. These were not normal texts. Here's a random idea. They were actionable issues to be resolved. Wow. And I got no response until this morning, and only a partial response, which leads me to believe he had a hell of a date.
Mm. Yeah, I
don't want to put his business out there, but because he didn't even tell me. So I'm just speculating right now, but it seems very likely. It seems very likely, which is interesting for a Monday night. Like it's
serious. If it's a Monday night, it's very serious. And he should be careful because there's a 29th of Feb and the women just propose left, right, and center. They just propose to the men because it's the only day we can do it, apparently, out of the whole year. So they'll just tell Pia to like,
wait, really? Where is that from?
It's a leap year. So I don't know. It's something that they do on leap year that apparently women can propose to men because traditionally the women aren't supposed to propose to the men, blah, 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 whatever. But yeah, just help you, you know, just chop his feet on that day. Maybe not leave the house. You never know what can happen on that day. Got blast happening, Bitcoin ripping. I'm just saying, yeah. Keep your feet chopping. But well done for putting his business out there.
This is what we're witnessing here is an evolution. You know, they've been watching us for the last year and a half in the bear market operating. You know, PO, $57,000 Bitcoin PO is a different PO than $16,000. You know, we're going to be seeing him act up. He's going to pull up
in a full Gucci suit in the next couple days here, just letting us know how broke we are. I can't wait. I'm excited for it.
And Alfalfa, I'm about to ban you. If you call me the Wynwood Prowler again, that is.
Wow, that's a good name. That's a good name, the Wynwood Prowler.
I don't like it at all.
The Wynwood Wanderer. Oh man, yeah, Clemente's out here.
What is Wynwood though? Like for real, there are some like cool spots, but otherwise there's just a lot of apartment buildings basically.
So
like,
Nick, I can actually tell you why. BlackRock owns 80% of the real estate in Wynwood, so they're just building more and more and more. Which, unlike the rest of America right now, rents in Miami are actually going down in this area as they continue to gentrify much of the middle section above Brickell.
Well, I mean, I can appreciate that they're developing these apartment buildings. It's interesting that BlackRock is one behind it. So I do have to stand by that, given their ETF, their Bitcoin ETF, you know, focus. So I will support, despite the fact that everywhere else, that would suck. The rent this month is not cheaper than 3 months ago, though, Easy. It's actually gone up over the past couple of months.
That's because they're in production. So you have to time it when the buildings are complete. Which your boy lucked out on, let me tell you.
Okay. But before we get started with today's show, I have a couple quick shout outs. The first one going to Pike, who is the Bodago of today. I don't know if you guys saw this or have noticed recently in the last 7 days or so, we've been seeing some Bodagos dominate the content front. Pike at Pike NFTs is a Bodago holder. Bodago PFP dropped a fantastic thread on everything you need to know about Bodagos, the history, the past, the present, the future. I pinned it up top if you want to go check it out. And then I also recommend following Pike at Pike NFTs on Twitter. So fantastic thread. Nick, I see you. Anything to add here?
Dude, the last thing I just want to say is, whoo! Oh my gosh, dude. I mean, this is the Bitcoin chart is fully torqued. Jeez Louise, dude. I mean, it's inappropriate.
Save it for the show. I'm doing the Bodago of the day. I thought you had something to add there.
No, I just wanted to let you know. Wow. I mean, even the charts got me turned on, dude. That's how torqued it is. I'm impressed.
Yeah, it is wild. And we'll talk about that in about 10 minutes. But I want to give another quick shout out to today's partner, Dimension X, who we're going to be talking to later on in the show. But Dimension X is the free-to-play idle RPG game available on Ethereum and Flow. They also have a little play-to-earn model. You can play as a superhero. You fight villains. You complete quests. You level up.
the straightforward game process. And then as you level up, you get prizes, you get NFTs that they give you. There's a new quest out right now featuring a Bodago inspired sidekick. You can actually use it. You level it up to a level 5 and you can win some of the various NFT prizes that the team's giving away. They've been just crushing. They've been building for over a year and some change. The game is already live, so you can go check it out at DimensionXNFT.com or check out the pinned tweet in the Twitter space to learn more. But Signal, please take it away for the weather report. Let's kick this show off whenever you are ready.
Absolutely. Clemente, today is Tuesday, February the 27th. That ETH market volume is absolutely cooking at almost 30 million. Solana up 12.2. If you look at the market leaders, it's Clemente's Wazzy's. They're up over 80% to 2.18 ETH. Got the ladies up 36% to 1.1 ETH. Persona, it is down to 0.34. Mutant Mons are up almost 70% to 2.8 SOL. And Quantum Cat, they're down to 0.28 BTC. Over the past 24 hours, the top four stories are, well, firstly, crypto started just an absolute scorching hot run with Bitcoin up 11% to over $57,000. Ethereum is up to $3,260 and Solana is up to $110. Meanwhile, it's meme coins also pumping as well. You got Pepe, that's up over 50%. Dog Whip Hat, that's up over 50%. And Bonk is up 20%. And every spot month continues. Secondly, Magic Eden's ETH marketplace will go live today at 11 a.m. Eastern, offering a 50% diamond boost to Yuga collections after partnering to enforce royalties. Utes will also be enforcing royalties in Magic Eden, and 100% of the royalties will be used to buy Utes to give out for free and support creators. Thirdly, Juice, a cross-margin DeFi protocol launching on Blast, has announced that they will be allocating points upon mainnet launch to Pudgy Penguins and Wazzy's, along with all of those who have breached Ethereum to Blast. Blast mainnet is going to be launching on Thursday and has finally crossed 2 billion in TBL as anticipated for the launch this week. And then lastly, it's OK Dogs. That is a mint to watch out for today as they're going to mint on Magic Eden's Ethereum launch pad with the allowedest phase starting today at 7 p.m. Eastern for 0.068 each. The public mint then starts at 10 p.m. Eastern for 0.1 ETH each, and if successfully sold out, will raise $2.5 million. After reaching a high of 20 SOL leading into the allowedest snapshot, OK Bears are currently holding a 13 SOL floor. That is all the juicy news for the weather report today. It's back to you folks in the studio.
Woo! Holy shit, that got me fired up, baby. We are back. We are back, dude. I didn't want to get too fired up. I was trying to hold it back. I didn't want to go too crazy on today's show. I don't want to be that guy that's out here like bragging about his calls. But God damn it, I've been on a heater.
It's been great, dude. I tailed you from 30,000 feet last night. It was a slow buy. I was like, shit. I don't know if this is even going to go through.
I'm so pissed I didn't do that. I saw him tweet it on Saturday, and I was like,
0.86. So, and then when he doubled down on it, I was like, damn, I'm not going to do any research. I haven't followed Clemente's paper trading at all, but fuck it. I got 10K in this MetaMask on my cell phone. Let's just deploy all of it into these goddamn Wassies and see what happens. Woke up this morning up 8K and dumped it into bids. Just dumped on Clemente's listeners. Yeah, it was great.
I can't believe you sold. I was like actually mad. He texted me. He's like, yeah, I sold it. I'm like, whatever happened to good old fashioned camaraderie? Whatever happened to riding with your squad? Whatever happened to, hey, let's stick this through. We have a mission and we're deploying on this adventure together, and he just bails. It's frankly extractive. It's toxic. And I'm not having any of it.
That's very easy. Yeah. Easy just pulls the parachute and you're just like, I didn't even realize a plane was going down. Easy's just the first one out of the boat.
I didn't say what I bought. I let the people speculate. I let the people speculate. A few people saw the wallet transactions and I was like, shh. Cause I knew I was dumping it. Like I was like, I'm gonna take this like, what, 3 ETH, give or take right now, about 3 ETH, and just see what damage we can do with it. I'm gonna take Clemente's calls, be selective about which ones I dive into. And sure enough, I saw the Wassy one, and I was like, this one does make sense. They probably go higher, totally fine. But we're here to hit singles and doubles consistently to start to score some runs. I told him, he was like, you're gonna miss out on all the airdrops. I was like, sure. But what happens when I turn this 3 ETH into 30 ETH? Just by watching your paper trades, you're going to get a great Christmas present, Clemente. Something nice, something shiny. What's going to happen? Maybe I get you a Vision Pro. You know, maybe we get you in the metaverse.
I don't want to get too fired up. I want to try to stay humble here.
Dude, I'm fucking pissed, dude. I'm up only like 6% here with Bitcoin, dude. Like, what am I? Well, I guess Coinbase was up like 15% yesterday. So that was a nice little gainer. I've just been holding that. But like, what the hell, man? I haven't been making these leveraged trades that Clemente has been making. And it's disappointing. I've missed out on ordinals. And then I was like, I'm not chasing this. I keep telling myself I'm not chasing this. I got to wait for the pullback on this one. Sappy Seals has bounced off the pullback that was there. So my entry doesn't look too bad here. Clemente even tweeted about that. And then your Wassies trade, when I saw it this weekend, I was like, this thesis just makes sense, even if it's not true. Even if it's not
beautiful
true.
Beautiful thesis. Beautiful thesis with Loom Dart being like one of the judges for every Blast protocol. Like everything being built on Blast is obviously they know him. They have a connection to him. Everything good, he's going to reach out to him and be like, yo, what do I have to do here to get the squad some eyeballs on it? Then Clemente also gave these
balls.
Some eyeballs. Listen, dude, I'm still recovering, okay? But hey, Clemente also gave me these chibbling things like Wassie nuts, and I just bought them and then asked them what they were. Dumped the shit out of those this morning too. Just attacked the floor with them. So between those and
Wassie, did you lose money on those?
No, I made half an ETH,
dude.
I made half an ETH. So I put a half an ETH in that, and I put 3 ETH in, or 2.7 in Wassie. So I was in for like 3.2, and I took out 5.5.
You traded those on Blur?
Of course.
Yeah.
So of course. For people that don't know Wassie nuts, this is actually an interesting play. I'm actually break even on it. But they're an ERC-4
Wassie nuts
that were dropped to Wassie holders in early February. So I think these are going to be interesting. They haven't really pumped or done too much off of it, but I think it's going to be a little activation.
Look at what's on the screen, dude. Look at these things. Are you kidding me? It's 404. That's an error. Like that. Like what are we talking about here with the Wassie nuts? I like the Wassies. I don't know about their nuts.
Yeah, I'm not fully convicted on the nuts.
You're about to get neutered.
Yeah. I might get neutered on it, but yeah, I think my thesis on it, and when I first tweeted about Wassies, it was actually during, or when I first thought about them, it was our researcher, Kai. We were in the Discord, we were doing a Discord Blast Power Hour last week, and we were talking about Blast, we were getting excited about it, and Kai was like, yeah, I own two of these Wassies. I think they are the best. And so, frankly, I have to give credit where credit's due. It wasn't necessarily my play. It was Kai who did the Blast deep dive with us and who does research for us that brought the play up. I'm like, oh, like, let's go. And I saw them did to 0.69. I tweeted at him. I had no liquidity. So I sold my Sappy Seal. I sold one of my three Sappy Seals at 1.35, bought a Wassie at 0.88, and two of these Wassie nuts. And so far, it's played out. But frankly, I'm holding this thing until it gets up to like, if it gets up to like 5 or 6 ETH, that's where I'm like, okay, I would maybe consider selling. But frankly, I think I'm going to get upwards of $5,000 in airdrops or Blast benefits that I think it's going to play out that way. But yeah, I don't want to keep pumping my Loom Lock or
Clemente, what's next?
I don't know. The problem is now is that everyone that like ignored that call, the amount of people that like in the last 2 weeks, the same people that were calling me Steve Aoki, the new Steve Aoki, that were calling me the Kramer of NFTs, that were calling me the worst trader in NFT history, are actually now the ones DMing me saying like,
yeah, hey, because you're almost break even on your beans losses. So like you're doing pretty well. Like I think you're officially almost break even on all the previous trades, which is great. Like you're doing really well.
Yeah. So I don't know what's next, but Nick, anything to add?
No, I mean you've been doing really well. You've gone through an evolution similar to Pio. Pio has actually evolved as a trader as well. I now feel like I'm behind here, primarily with my NFT trading. I haven't been active enough on it. Shout out to the Filecoin fuckheads that were up significantly at one point. We were up to $8.60. It's pulled back since down to 780. But dude, Filecoin to the moon. You know what I'm saying? But it's tough. It seems like, look, NFTs are getting a lot of action right now, primarily from the pre-existing market based on that chart that you shared the other day. And that seems like the highest leverage move. It's also like straight up gambling, and I think it's moving as fast as the meme coin market right now. Like it feels it's trading similar to meme coins, So you're getting these short-term pumps. You're getting these narratives around the NFTs themselves. And then, like, I think Easy's exit may end up actually looking pretty good, Clemente. And you may want to consider the same thing, only because, like, these narratives are, like, die.
They become crowded. And then everyone ends up looking for the next narrative. Which, like, now there's a few things I'm even looking at here now. Like, I want to buy Persona post-reveal really badly. Like, that's a trade I'm looking at right now, and I'm just waiting for this reveal. Send them to, like, 0.25, yeah. And I'll just buy a ton of them. Because, like, that's a play that had so much hype and speculation and now has received some FUD for a poor gas contract and that the art hasn't revealed just yet because supposedly there were some clipping issues and layering issues for, like, backpacks on shoulders and stuff that got some people hesitant. So we've now seen this trade essentially where the bid price was with gas. So yeah. Auction plus gas puts it at 0.33, 0.34. Which is right where we are. So now I'm like, post-reveal, if we get this under 0.3, I'm like, I'm a buyer. Just because this company actually has a token speculation. There's a few other things. And then also, shout out the memes, dude. Shout out the memes. Let's see if we got it. Oh, yeah. Got my brass knuckles here. I kind of want a potato. I kind of want to add to my captain's
exposure. Your actual brass knuckles?
Nah, it's made of wood. Made of wood.
I mean, I guess that's better than the hat with the logo slapped on it, which did look good.
Leave the hat alone.
That hat, by the way, Signal, I was listening to the show from the plane and you were talking about the socks. The socks, yeah. One are really well done, but they're Memeland and Pudgy socks. One says Memeland, the other says Pudgy, embroidered on it. Really nice.
I haven't
stuff.
Actually opened them. Opened them yet. But just going back, Clemente, I think, like, you've been bang on with all your thesis, and I am going to start copying trading Clemente. So yeah, what has happened as well this year. Anyway, but I do think just be careful, like, not to round trip your bags, because the narrative's playing out right now. Obviously, Bitcoin's flying, got the ETH ETF narrative flying, you've got Blast flying, and the timeline for these kind of plays, especially when Blast finally happens, is like, if that momentum doesn't stay there, these plays can very quickly go back on you. And I think that, like, there's one thing I learned from the previous cycle is like holding your bags for too long, just thinking that everything's going to go higher. Sometimes you're better off just doing what Easy says. You just take those quick wins and then you just put them back into the next play. And then you're just chasing narratives rather than just staying in one single narrative. So that would be my only advice for, like, timing your exits. But your plays so far have been spot on.
Because you're not buying into some, like, stock here, dude, with, like, a company that exists. These are Wassies. I remember when they pumped. They do have – Loomdart is well-connected in this space, obviously. So, I mean, I think your thesis may be right, and you may end up getting the airdrops. The biggest thing is, like, making sure you collect those airdrops. I went on Bankless actually has, like, an airdrop tool that you can, like, look up whether or not your wallet has any airdrop claims. So I found, like, a few $100 basically. But I also haven't claimed. Is it still possible to claim the Optimism airdrop? You're muted, Easy.
Easy. You have 6 months.
Oh, okay. So then.
Yeah, so you have a little bit of time.
Yeah. So we can do that on, like, the company wallets, for example. But the bottom line is it's the taking the action in order to go, like, stay on top of it is the thing that's kind of, like, frustrating for me. But I mean, regardless, maybe your thesis plays out. How much were you hoping to make from the airdrops?
5,000 is my target. So I put in $2,500 or so. I want to make 5,000 from, in terms of, like, collecting airdrops, right? So not the actual selling of the NFT is actually where I think I'm going to make money. And that was my play instead of bridging to Blast before mainnet went live.
So your total, you're aiming for $7,500 or maybe a little more.
Yeah. In terms of, yeah.
You haven't bridged to Blast?
I've bridged like 0.02. I bought an ETH worth or so of Blur token when it was at like 45 cents back in November. And I just staked it. That's been my Blast play. I haven't bridged yet. I figure right now there's not enough of a high reward to bridge to Blast before mainnet goes live, frankly, unless you're bridging over more than one ETH, which I wouldn't be bridging over as much. So that's the way I'm approaching it. We'll see. I mean, mainnet goes live February 29th. The big question mark for me is how much integration does Blast have with Blur? That's kind of my question
mark. That's my fear right now, is because Blur rewards are redacted, quote redacted. So we actually don't know if you're going to get the blast token or if we're just going to get more Blur. That's kind of like my concern, because I have minimal, if any, blast exposure on Blast Mainnet. All my exposure is through staking Blur, which is a totally free trade right now. And for me, it's like, I've done a couple things with like Blur dApps and, or Blast dApps and stuff, where I've given some small check sizes to get involved. But other than that, I've been like relatively hands off watching. And I think it may bite me in the ass, very similar to how me fading Portal Coin is ultimately ended up.
Yeah. And we'll get into the actual meat of the show. But the quick piece on Portal Coin, I want to touch on it briefly. This is absolutely printing. It is absurd what this could end up making. And Nick, we were just talking about this. You mentioned it, where it's pretty much what we're seeing right now is not necessarily new entrants entering the space. It's existing entrants making money, existing market participants making money and feeling more risk on versus new entrants, new wallets actually entering the space. And we're going to see, like, we're going to see it again with Portal Coin, with Blast. It'll be another liquidity injection event, and we'll see where those profits trickle down into.
The thing we were saying though last night, which I'm like sort of wondering about, one, I do think the Bitcoin narrative is probably the strongest one at this point in time, because I could see CNBC talking about it. The NFT side of things, the dude, if you talk to anybody who's not into NFTs, they're like, oh, those things. If I talk about the fact that we make money off of NFTs, I like, don't say that on a date. That's all I'm saying, because the ladies are like, that's still a thing. Oh, this guy's like a broke loser. Like, yeah. What the hell is going on? I might as well have said that like I'm a hobbyist gamer or something like that, and they would have been like, oh my god, okay, complete loser here.
Yeah, I mean, that happened to me this weekend, frankly, and it's been happening to me very, like, I was talking to these two girls, they're like, oh, what do you do? And I was like, oh yeah, I work for a startup media company. Like, oh, like, what is that? And they're like, oh, yeah, we host like live podcasts as part of what we do. Like, oh, what's the podcast about? I, you know, finance, you know, maybe a little bit of crypto. They're like, oh, really? They're like, that still exists? They're like, that's the most Miami thing I've ever heard. I could see the disgust in their faces.
Dude, I went to a dinner on Friday night and I was chilling. It was my friend who has sold his company and a few of his friends. And all these people were like pretty well to do, actually very well to do, I'd say. And it, like, universally, I got sort of just like a take of where, like, yo, I can't do the crypto thing, basically, was kind of like what the overall assessment was. There were some people that were like, oh, no, I'm interested in learning about like what I should do, or I own a little bit of Bitcoin, or I own a little bit of whatever. But like, they just hated it so much. And I'm like, they're like, I mean, how much higher can Bitcoin go anyways? And I was like, I don't know, 250,000 at the next stop. They're like, really? Like, that just seems absurd. And I'm like, all right, that's what I'm targeting.
I'm just going to say that you, like Clemente and Nick, I think like one of the biggest positives from going to these kinds of conferences, especially like the Paris one, where I was saying yesterday that one of the sort of advantages of Paris over the New York conference is that New York is very party, and I found Paris to be more productive. And because they actually put together a good conference, you feel like you're in an ecosystem which is actually thriving and growing. If I compare what it was last year to what it was this year, like you can just feel the energy, and you come back feeling so good and so like buzzed, like I'm in the right place. I'm like, stuff is being built. We're going in the right direction. But because when you hang out with like the normies, none of them get it. So sometimes it can undermine your confidence in that you think, okay, am I in the right place? Because this is the reaction I'm getting from colleagues, friends, family, or whatever. So I just think it's really good to touch base into these really good IRL conferences, because it reinforces the energy, your clarity, your thinking, your connections, your networking. And you just come away thinking, yeah, I am in the right place. Everybody else just doesn't get it yet.
It's a cult gathering is what it is, is what we call those events. But with a professional bent, which adds a little more validity and reinforces your beliefs as you go there and realize we can't all be idiots, right? Like, there's no way that like we all got this wrong, right? And it does work. I will say I'm also of the mindset that I remember Naval Ravikant, like many years ago, I actually hosted him at an event and we had a conversation on stage about Bitcoin. It was like 2013 or something like that. Bitcoin was $100 and he was really deep in Bitcoin at that point in time. And I remember asking him, I was like, why Bitcoin? And one of the things that he really loved about it was network effects. And I wasn't as big a believer in that before, but I am increasingly a believer in that. If you're able to convince other people that this thing has value, eventually it has value, right? Like, we still have Bored Apes are worth $60,000, $70,000 at this point, right?
$75,000.
How much?
$75,000.
Wow. Yeah. Dude, when everyone was hating, I was like, this may be the moment to just like ape into the Bored Apes here. Cause
the ETH floor hasn't moved. It stayed relatively flat, but ETH's appreciation. Yeah, so USD, they're up to 75K. It's not like the ETH has really run.
Mm. Well, regardless, they're still worth $75,000. And I think from that standpoint, it's like there's enough people in the world that believe that that's the case. And that's this is a micro version of what Bitcoin is, essentially, from that standpoint. Now, obviously, you can't fractionalize it. Well, you can. There are tools for that. But, like, it's still a non-fungible token versus the fungible form. But I think that there is that impact I've really bought into more. And either you're in the network or you're not in the network. And so you get to choose whether or not you're part of it or not part of it. The majority of the world is just not part of this at this moment in time, and they don't see the value of it. Even though, like, the existing infrastructure is slowly becoming untenable, but yeah.
And speaking of Bored Apes, we have the Magic Eden launch kicking off today of their ETH marketplace. They're giving 50% diamond boost to Bored Ape Yacht Club or just Yuga Lab assets. What I'm curious about is I'm looking at OpenSea or just ETH NFT market share as a whole. Yesterday, we recorded $29.2 million in volume. $23 million of that was Blur. $5 million of that was OpenSea. Easy, I want to start with you. Just starting with what you make of this announcement or of this kickoff. Do you feel like it'll have any legs? Do you feel like it might take any market share away from Blur? It feels like it's going to away from OpenSea. And then the part about Yuga choosing which royalties they are enforcing, like, very hard versus not.
Yeah, I'm like very torn on how to feel about it, to be completely honest. I'm like, am I excited for it? I want to say yes, because it's going to probably take share away from OpenSea, but I don't think it's going to affect Blur. Because like Blur farming is still a major part of this. The fact that Bored Apes, Mutant Apes, Meebits, Moonbirds, and a couple others are not included in this is where I was like, oh, that's really interesting. Because I was hoping that we'd see something there. In Paris, a lot of the talks and conversations, especially with those that hold apes, was actually around, like, how are they going to do this? Is it going to be a wrapper? Are they going to make us remint? Are they going to do a burn and remint? Is it going to be an airdrop for a match that's now enforced? And basically, this solidifies that it's not. And it's only the royalty enforced collections. So vessels, codas, other deeds, all of those pieces that'll be included in it, which I'd want to look at volume now to really compare it. And I don't think that that's going to be a major change. I think people who are farming Magic Eden will participate in that capacity, just because there is also the ETH retroactive diamond airdrop for Magic Eden today too.
Easy as well. You know that list that you just said, codas, mm-hmm. Vessels, etc. I thought that list was maybe three or four things. And then I saw a tweet from NFT Statistics where he basically wrote out the list of Yuga collections, which would be blocked by Blur and OpenSea and more non-royalty enforcing exchanges. They have stuff like Other Side Loot, Other Side Ship Parts, Other Side Relics, Moonbird Mythics, Moonbird Mythic Eggs, Grail Mint Pass, Bits of Howin, Comfy Tokens, Kagami. There's so much stuff that, I mean, I'm in this space 24/7. I'm here every day. I didn't even know some of these collections. Never heard of them. So I think your thesis that on like how much volume is actually going through these collections and how significant it will be is probably correct, because there's just some stuff on there that I've literally never heard of anyone really trading them.
To be fair, I was hating on them adding tokens essentially, and yet they've managed to do it. Like so far, they've managed to do it. I'm skeptical of this transition. I'm really curious to see what happens. There's never been, remember when like Blur first came out and everyone's like, it was polarizing basically. There were people that were like, dude, the adding liquidity is not a bad thing. And then other people being like, this is just tanking the market. But like, what is the incentive to, like they're trying to incentivize market makers on Magic Eden's new marketplace, but they're just offering diamonds, but they're not providing any clarity for what diamonds are. And so it's sort of like, dude, anybody who like speculated at the highest level with Blur, I feel like got wrecked. They ended up losing money. And that's the way that a lot of these systems have been built, is it's completely obfuscated as to what, or opaque in terms of like, what am I going to get for participating in these different things? They don't have some limited number of diamonds, as far as I can tell. It's just random fucking numbers, basically, that people are being rewarded. And at the end of it, that behavior is going to be part of some percentage of a pool of activity. But there's no, like, there's hard to get an edge because they're busy compete. You're competing against arbitrary strategy, which is going to be implemented in any given moment, such as we're going to retroactively give tons of diamonds to people, to every ETH fucking wallet. Like, are you kidding me?
So for
like,
context, though, to the farming side, there is a set amount of diamonds that can be farmed a day. So that is something that I've heard confirmed from that side of things. So farming right now, it's almost one of those things where like farming early is better before it becomes a crowded trade. We saw this with Parcel, which just announced their airdrop on Solana in April. Luckily, your boy was dumb early on those and has been yelling about it since November. And if not longer, I have a video from March of last year saying Parcel is going to have an airdrop and I think you should be farming this before it even had $1 million in TVL. And that same idea, your points accrued much faster. Like, I think I'm top 200 and I've basically removed a ton of my liquidity because now it's at 77 million in TVL. That's locked. And I was in it before a million. And the NFTs were sub 2 SOL and are now at 20.
So how much did you make on Parcel?
I bought a ton of them at 2.5 when I talked about it. I think I bought 15 and sold them all at 10. So I made like a little over 10 grand on that. They ran to 20, but it was on a space where I was like, I'm going to buy these after the show ends. I'm giving you the trade first. My exit is 10. They ran to 10 and 72 hours later, once Parcel did like another update on their token and like what they plan to do. And then they ended up just keep running. But like, I just stuck to the trade on that one. So I did fairly well. And I'm curious to see what the airdrop's going to be, because I've basically stopped farming just because it's so crowded now on Parcel that I'm content with where my points are. And even then I could get dropped to like top 500 if some whales enter, but I still think I'll have a substantial airdrop, and I lost no money on the TVL. I think I ended up making like a couple $100.
Easy. I want to briefly touch on this because we're talking about points farming, and obviously that's happening on ETH to a certain extent, but it feels like it's happening so much more on Solana NFTs. And the lack of volatility. I mean, we saw Ilmot, the CEO of
Transdimensional Foxes, have traded flat. So there's a reason for this, though. These are not royalty enforced.
Right.
And maker taker fees, which is what marketplaces do, is where you end up getting a fee back by selling into it. So people are actually selling these for like a 0.01 to 0.05 loss. But because there's negative maker taker fees, they're actually still breaking even because the market's paying you to basically trade them. So they're ending up being able to farm these on both sides. But because of that, it's trading completely flat right now. Like,
so what is he saying? Can you actually explain what the dynamic is here?
Yeah. So for these farmed marketplaces with Tensor, for example, earning Tensor points, mm-hmm. what they have on the market is when you buy an NFT, there's a taker fee. So a fee that's actually withdrawn from the seller by you buying it. So like, think of it as like a marketplace fee.
Okay, so it's, marketplace fee on the transaction.
Similar when you sell to a bid. If you sell into a bid, you as the seller are also losing a small sliver of that because you're selling into a bid. So the marketplace fee is hitting you. But right now, these marketplaces are doing what's called a negative fee. So because you're giving their marketplace volume, they're actually giving back that royalty that the marketplace was making. The marketplace fee is going back to the trader.
To you.
Yeah, to incentivize you to trade. So by giving volume, you're actually getting a portion of that fee. So where we see NFTs that have 0% royalties on creator royalties and these fees on marketplaces essentially being positive for you just doing volume, we're seeing that flat line. So Frogana's was brought up in the chat. Exact same situation. They have 0% creator royalties.
But sorry, why is the price so flat as a result of this?
Because these collections are heavily farmed. So the buyers and sellers, mostly bots, whales, are buying a ton of them and basically selling them back right away.
To themselves.
Or to whoever's the highest bid. So even another person who's also farming. So they're just constantly trading back and forth, earning points.
I see. So
you see that huge flat line there, right there, before we got a rally, and now it's since dumped, basically, where people who ended up getting sold into have dumped off. I think we're going to just trade that flat line for an extended period of time until they fix this.
But why is the floor that high versus, like, I mean, like...
You get more points on higher floor collections.
What's that?
You get more points for more volume traded. So this 4 to 7 range is earning you significantly more points than one soul projects. So people that are identifying these opportunities where floors are between 4 and 8 soul are earning 4x to 8x what they'd earn trading one soul with the same level of risk.
Interesting. Okay. And so does Fraganas have like low royalties or something?
They have zero royalties.
Well, no, there you go. Royalties.
Exactly. Same with older collections, which is Transdimensional Foxes. And because there's so many bids on these at the 5 soul level, people are comfortable paying that 5 soul instead of looking for a collection that's 20 or 30, even with 0% royalties, has less bids because there's just less liquidity there. So it seems like that 4 to 6 range, 4 to 7 range is the sweet spot where people are comfortable placing bids, getting dumped into, and then selling it for a minimal loss where the marketplace fees are recouping that loss.
It feels like these incentives are not, and that, I guess that's what Ilmoy is saying there, is basically these incentives are not properly structured at this moment in time, because like it's just generating garbage volume, which doesn't help anybody basically. Like it's just a non, and ultimately, I feel like the better way of handling this is not telling people the points that they have and instead retroactively rewarding people.
This is what Blur did. Do you remember that? Blur kept your points hidden for an extended period of time, which is what actually let. But so this is the first time I hate to admit this. This is the first time ETH front ran soul on something. Solana for a long period of time has front ran the metas, whether it's NFT, Fi, whether it's 0% royalties and all these other things. Marketplace point systems were done first on ETH with Blur. And it's actually where we saw that trade, a ton of collections traded flat for 3 to 6 months until points were shown. And then they shifted it where it wasn't buy and sell that got you points. It was bidding and loans, which ended up causing a more natural price action. Because points are being accrued right now for buying and selling specifically, that's what's causing flat price action.
Man, I almost prefer not even specifying. Like, Blur did generate a lot of activity as a result of it. It becomes this like explicit promise, basically saying you're going to make money off of trading this thing. Is what Blur did, and I guess Machi Big Brother got wrecked the most. I can't think of who.
Conway lost more than Machi.
Okay, so what was it? Was a net loss of like millions of dollars, right?
Yeah, I think Conway was in the 3 million, and Machi was like 1.8.
That's so ridiculous. So they lost millions of dollars generating this volume on what they interpreted as an explicit promise that they would be rewarded for this behavior. That said, I mean, it's such a ridiculous like behavior to begin with, to be like, oh, this person says that I'm going to get rewarded. Let me go spend millions of dollars and I expect that that's going to like net out. But I also just think like, I mean, I guess at this point in time, it has resulted in effective marketing. I end up using Blur now rather than OpenSea on trading ETH NFTs. So like it did accomplish something, but like, and the only reason I do it honestly is because they keep this like continuing to reward people with tokens. So I'm like, all right, well, maybe at some point I'm going to get like rewarded for this behavior. But I feel like it should just be speculated as to what that ends up being worth versus like the way that it's happening right now. I mean, Magic Eden is entering like interesting territory, I'll say, with the whole diamond thing, because it is, again, another opaque system where there it's not clear how many there are on the total supply side. And so like, and I guess they did explicitly state, though, like what percentage of the airdrop will go to diamond holders? Did they say that? You're muted, Easy.
Oops, I pressed the wrong button. They've only said 51% is going to the community. So that's anticipated to be through community rewards. Not like how much go to the diamonds, but 51% from non-fungible DAO goes to the community, which is expected to be through diamonds. Diamonds right now are trading OTC on whales.market at 10 cents.
5 cents was the last time I checked.
This morning was 0.1.
Oh, they're back. Damn. Okay. Yeah,
0.1 today. Which, because like I check it most mornings just to see. Like, I mean, I look at Portal Coin, I look at that, I look at like a lot of the OTC stuff. I'm waiting for Blast to start trading on it, which I'm shocked it hasn't already.
Easy. Nick has been fading our OTC. You know, we're looking at the pre-market. We're monitoring whales.market.
It's usually high, to be honest. It's usually fairly high.
A lot of shit. Nick goes, damn, you guys, what are you guys checking over there? We're getting that sweet, sweet alpha, Nick.
Dude, I'm not fading the fact that you're getting information. I'm just saying you love using the OTC acronym at this point. Like, yeah, it's like you learned it a week ago and you're like, all right, this makes me sound smarter.
Yeah, yeah, it's exactly the case. Real quick, I want to give a quick shout out to Dimension X, the partner of today's show, and who we're going to be talking to in about 10 minutes about their upcoming, or they're already live, free-to-play RPG game. You play as a superhero, you fight villains, you complete quests, you win prizes. Super easy. As you level up your hero, you can exchange it, you can do more things with it. There's a new quest right now where you can use a Bodago-like sidekick. You level it up to level 5 and you can win one of the various NFT prizes the team's given away. This game is live on Flow and ETH, and they've been live the last, they launched as a free mint in August of last year on Ethereum, and you can go play the game at dimensionxnft.com. I've enjoyed the art. I've been talking to the team. I love talking to Mike, and we'll be talking to him in about 10 minutes. So you make sure to check out the game. And we're also doing a small giveaway pinned up top on Twitter. Look, we have 10 minutes before we're going to have Mike on the show. One of the things we obviously need to discuss is the crypto price action. Nick, we were talking a little bit about it last night, and I remember about a month ago on the show when Bitcoin was at roughly like $43,000, I want to say, you were sitting here and you were like, guys, this literally feels, am I crazy? Because this feels like the biggest no-brainer that we are witnessing before our eyes. Like, what the hell is going on? Why am I not plowing all of my money into it, basically?
When I've been plowing most of my money into it has been the path. I wish I have a couple of liquidity events happening like imminently, one in 2 days. And then I have another one. I don't know. I have some stock that from a previous employer that I'm selling, which I like cannot freaking wait to like hurry up and get it. I don't know, like one thing, the Bitcoin chart is absolutely beautiful. It went back to the support line and tested it like absolutely perfectly. And so it's looking strong. You would expect a similar sort of pullback to occur. Let me pull this up real quick because this is like so perfect in terms of how this this panned out. Give me, it's not, it may not be set up properly. Damn. I may not be able to.
But Nick, yeah, I mean, you said you're getting like a liquidity, an injection of liquidity, right? I'm curious when you're looking at deploying capital, we have Bitcoin at 57,000, Solana at about 110 bucks, Ethereum at 3,200. And then obviously we have alts, some meme coins. How are you thinking about distributing or like even allocating that portfolio from like a percentage perspective? I'm curious how you're kind of monitoring that. Solana has been pretty much holding relatively steady over the last couple of weeks while ETH and Bitcoin have been running. So I'm curious how what you make of all of that right now, especially given that you have some liquidity.
So a couple things. First, I'm going to show this chart. This like perfectly retested this, honestly, three times. If you get... This support level usually gets eaten up. You usually don't get a triple bounce or a quadruple bounce. If you get a 1, 2, 3, it usually rips after that or it breaks down. This was like beautiful technicals in terms of this particular setup on Bitcoin. I don't know what the new level is. I may look at like 53,000 or something like that. But you, after these breaks, you do typically get some sort of pullback along the line. The ETF, I think, is basically preventing any of the pullbacks that you would be looking for, because this has like at, like the overall Bitcoin chart is just crazy bullish. It's not really pulling back at all. The weekly is insane.
We finally have like clear ways to see if there's going to be a pullback through inflows and outflows. Like, that's the crazier part to me, is like, for the first time in God knows how long, we have an opportunity to actually watch traditional markets with major size dictate if we're going to see a pullback or not. Like, if outflows start to significantly outweigh inflows, pullback's imminent. You know what I mean? Like, for the first time, we can see traditional markets and what it can do to a finite asset.
Yeah, but that happens immediately. Like, whether or not, like, you get an end of day, whether end of day reading as to what the inflows or outflows were, and the price is going to be impacted by that, like, in real time, essentially. So, like, you're not new to that situation. I guess it's nice to see it over a couple day period versus like versus over like weeks and being like, oh, Bitcoin's down 30% or whatever. But would you want to like buy once people like you're looking for an extended trend? No,
I mean, yeah, and that's kind of what we saw, was we continued to see like Mando and OSF have been great about posting about like the inflows and outflows. And just continuing to see 500 million of inflows day after day after day.
Yeah.
Like, those traditional finance markets aren't going to take a loss. You know what I mean? Like, that's how I look at it, is like consistent $500 million days is like, oh shit, okay, these guys aren't going to go underwater terribly. And if they do, they'll keep deploying. Whereas if we start to see continuous trends of outflows versus inflows, then maybe it's time to, you know, start to scale out. And that's kind of how I'm looking at it. Not like a single day candle, but what that trend is. And the trend right now has been heavily buy focused. And that's where I'm like, yeah, this makes total sense. Their post today made me ecstatic. They were like, Sol once again looks like it's mispriced and is currently under trading the market. And I was like, perfect. Even better. Like, that's what I want to see.
Even better. I mean, it just looks like Ethereum is completely underpriced here. Like, the fact is that people are saying that it may be more difficult for an Ethereum ETF to be approved, but it is very likely that it is going to be approved. I think it will be, at least. And like, considering Ethereum is only at 3,200, and we're seeing what's been happening to Bitcoin, it just feels as if people are going to be looking at the Bitcoin price action and being like, well, I quote unquote miss that. And Ethereum will just be a play that people will naturally take. And then that is going to absolutely send as well. If like Ethereum gets approved, alt season is going to absolutely send.
Well, there's another factor people are sleeping on, is the Coinbase SEC suit that lists a handful of tokens as potential securities. If Coinbase wins and things like Solana, Cardano, Near, are even Ron and those other tokens are called not a security, you're going to see alt season send like it's never sent before. And that's the biggest thing I'm watching closely here, is what's happening with that lawsuit and that case. Because the second that those come out and are deemed not a security, alt season is going to go parabolic. Like, Bitcoin right now is what, 12K off of all-time high? So it's like 18%. ETH is still sitting at 30% off all-time high. And Sol is still a 2X off of all-time high. That's where I'm like, dude, I need more Solana. I haven't, and I kept telling myself I'm going to stop buying when it's over 100.
No,
I haven't stopped buying. I haven't stopped buying. I haven't turned it off even remotely. And I've even now added another token that I'm buying aggressively here too. So I'm like, fuck, I just need to deploy more. My average buy, Clemente made a post yesterday and was like, funny me. He's like, hey, your average buy is like 50 cents. I was like, nah, it's actually like $26 now, because I've just been like, shit, I'm still underexposed. Like, I've almost increased my average daily, or my average buy price on Sol by 50%, buying so much at these prices, because I'm like, the RR here is crazy. 18% for Bitcoin to all-time high. Call it 30% on ETH. Call it 100% on Sol. Feels so terribly mispriced that I'm like, Sol should be closer to 180, if not 200 right now, not $111. And I'm like, that's substantial movements in this market. And I even look at like AVAX at $40 with all-time high at 160. I'm like, something feels wrong here when I start to look at like these things that have truthfully led me to the promised land buying in December of 22.
I've kept reiterating, don't overthink the trade. And you sent me, you were going to like do some, whatever that move was that you did with Solana onto, what was the thing that you did?
JLP. So I have a lot of my stables are in JLP. Like 90% of my stables are in JLP, and they're up beautifully.
Like, oh, that stables.
Yeah, I was going to unstake some soul to put it in there and take some level of profit. I ended up doing like 5% of it instead of like the larger bag I wanted to. Just because you also made me think about it. And this was the thing I kept thinking about this whole week was like, soul feels criminally underpriced.
Dude, just keep with the trade, basically. Like, you make a bet. The only thing you want to do is, like, the only additional thing is if NFT season, which has, it does feel like it's begun in some ways. Ordinals are feeling very compelling, basically. Like, they're getting a ton of action at this moment. The narrative keeps switching, though. Like, for a bit, it was like Solana NFTs. Then we saw some action on ETH. Then we saw some action on Ordinals. So it seems like it cycles through all these different areas and, like, it'll just continue to go in a cycle, I think. I do think that the Bitcoin, that not having ordinal exposure is a bad move personally. Like, I think it, like, I want to have one. I'm almost inclined to get like Node Monkeys or something like that, no matter what the price is. Like, I'm borderline. What are you saying, Clemente?
The best way to get exposure is the Bodago Super Pack. I'm not even saying that to like pump it or like
since try to I joined cheap. It's been up only, just saying.
You haven't
since,
even joined, dude.
Not officially. I gotta send the bitcoin, but since I got into the Discord, it's been up only. I gotta pay my dues on it. But dude, I'm finally, my Node Monkeys are up 2x, my OMB is at 1 bitcoin. I'm looking at this, I'm like, what the hell is going on over here? Because I'm just like, I minted the green eyes, I've been bag holding it. I bought 2 Node Monkeys at like 0.2 or something like that, so I was underwater for an extended period of time. And now it's up beautifully. And like, the thing that messes with me is the psychology of Bitcoin prices. Like, 0.16 Bitcoin is a ton of money, and it doesn't feel like a lot when I look at the number.
So hold on, Easy. I have a bone to pick with you. Frankly, when did you ever, like, you've never shared your buys or been like, yo, I just bought this?
Because I've just been underwater on them. I've said I've owned an OMB for a while. If you tuned into the 8 a.m. show, you've heard these buys.
You didn't share it because you've been underwater. So that, okay, uh-huh. So... Easy's only sharing his wins, not sharing his losses on the show.
I've talked about being underwater on Node Monkeys. I've talked about being underwater.
I had no idea. Nick, did you know he owned a Node Monkey?
I'm pulling the receipts from the show of me talking about it from the last month and a half.
Maybe I have bad memory.
No, but Easy's been like, he hasn't really spoken about it that much, but he has spoken about it and like mentioned it. But I was going to say, Nick, Ordinals is looking very compelling right now. And I definitely agree. Definitely get some exposure there. But I think the play is actually to be looking at Solana NFTs because they've just like, they're flat right now. And like you're saying, we're cycling through the chains. Like, we're definitely cycling through. Easy last week, but before you went to Paris, like names 3 or 4 collections, which potentially could go up after like we come out of this sort of flat period on there. So I'd be looking over there for them, just like the token. They feel underpriced, and I definitely think they're going to catch momentum. All of these chains are about momentum. Ordinals has the most momentum, then Ethereum, and Solana is going to catch up. So, I mean, personally, I'd be looking for it to slightly cool off on the Ordinal side before like aping in at like 0.3 on a... Oh, by the way, I sent a tweet yesterday and I was like, is it Node Monks or Node Monkeys? I got an excellent response from a holder that says it's like donkey, the way Shrek says donkey. It's more like...
Donkey.
Yeah.
Donkey.
So here's the alpha. I haven't taken this play yet. The alpha, though, is... So I haven't bought any of them yet. The alpha right now is to buy the Sharkify NFT. I'm telling you with confidence. I was looking at it yesterday. There's a 95 to 99% TLV loan that you can take out against it. And if you pay it back, it gives you 16x the points on Sharky. So what you do is you buy the Sharky, you loan against it, you pay back the loan, and then you get the Shark token for it. So they are up.
Sorry, what do you mean you loan against it? What,
you buy the Sharky. So these Shark NFTs are for Sharkify.
You take out a loan.
Yes. Yeah.
You borrow
against it. You're going to get high 90s of TLV. So basically what you pay for it is what you get in the loan amount.
On Sharkify.
And then you pay back the loan. You borrow against it, you just pay back the loan.
Right away?
16x points. Give it like a day or two, because if price goes up, you feel even better about it. They're up 1.5 soul over the last like 48 hours. So even I'm late on this trade. I don't own any right now. But this was the thing I was looking at, was like watching the loan market, because I've been talking about Sharkify's lending. We're paying back loans. And as a lender, this is like the best market to lend in. Gets you more points. And if you're lending, you're just getting paid Solana by giving capital on it and earning points. So now what you're doing is you're playing both sides. You lend out on other collections. You buy a handful of these sharks, you borrow against them, and you pay back the loans. So now what's happening? The flywheel effect.
Got too complicated, dude. Like, all of a sudden, I'm like, so here's what you do.
No, so perfect example. So you have the Mad Lad, right, that you're giving loans against, right?
Uh-huh.
You're earning a couple.
I'm not
sold.
Right now, actually. Once it started, once it had a pullback, once it went up real high, I paused that trade because I was just like, dude, this could go against me right now.
For sure. But so even these, like, they have 3-day loans where the best offer is 6.3. That's great. Uh-huh. Like, you do that, pay it back. Interest is small. They're already over that floor price. So great. Awesome. Now you're getting 16x the points, which with their token coming up, and they've even said they don't want a long point season. They want to play it short. The whole goal here is to just capitalize on that. So 3-day loans, really short time period. That's something I'm looking at hyper aggressively to just farm points on this and get their token, which should be in the next couple of months. And that's where I'm like, buy sharks, borrow against them, pay back the shark. And just
what if you just lend against that then? If you think the price is going up, why not loan? Do you get the same points?
You get less points. So right now you'd actually get more points for doing this. Like, this is hyper incentivizing.
You get more points for going into debt. I like that.
For paying back your debt, you get more points. Oh, okay. And it's a shorter loan term. So that's where I'm like, this feels like the better play to me. Is you own sharks, shark token coming, pay back the loans, small cost basis, price goes up, you're covering it, price goes down, you have the points, which should in theory cover it, because small loan season, not a ton of people doing this. Now that we just said it on the show, this is going to become a crowded trade and we're
There's
all fucked.
Six sales in the last 2 minutes on the
show. Damn it, dude. Fucking hell. And I, like I said, I own none. So I own zero. It's the new model this season is if I'm going to make a play, I'm going to give it to the space first just so that they can't tell me I'm dumping on followers. I only dump on Clemente's followers.
Okay, that's well, it. Here's the new approach to it. First, you hop in the Discord, you share with the Bodagos, then you share it on the show so that the Bodagos holders can dump on the audience. Mm-hmm. Then you go buy from the audience, basically, so that it's not unethical.
I like this. So we just make sure the dogs eat first.
Dogs eat first. Then the audience, then us.
Okay, I like this.
And then the newsletter subscribers.
Then the newsletter subscribers who read it 14 to 16 hours later.
Hey, subscribe to the newsletter at dailybones.com. Look, we're still waiting on Mike to join the show. I want to touch on very briefly.
Where is he?
I don't know. He's going to be coming on. He said...
We got like 5 more minutes here.
I told him, he'll come on. If not, we can reschedule for another day. I want to talk meme coins very briefly because this was... surprising to me. We saw Dog with Hat pump 40%. We saw Pepe pretty much see its first real big rally in a while. I sold mine. It's up 40%. A Bonk is up 20%. Nick, as our resident meme coin extraordinaire, are you interested or are you monitoring or do you own any of these meme coins that are rallying? I'm curious what you make of
I do. Hat
exposure.
I have very minimal exposure to it. Look, shout out to everyone who's made money on it. I'm less of somebody who's willing to tolerate, dude, like having hundreds of thousands of dollars in like Bitcoin and these other places is already volatile enough. Meme coins and NFTs are an even higher level. I'm heavily exposed to NFTs. To like, if anything, I would potentially sell some NFTs, add some meme coins, and then have a nice distribution here so that I have, like, look, the highest level should be Bitcoin, Solana. Well, Solana's number one for me. Bitcoin, number two. ETH, number three. So I have those three. Then the next portion of the portfolio would be the NFTs that I have, like, a Punk and then a Mutant and a couple of other. I have some art items and stuff like that. And then obviously all my Solana. I mean, I hold a bunch of our portals as well as Bodagos, but I'm not dumping those on people. I may be the biggest hold or sec. I'm the one of the top two holders on portals, but on the meme coin side, that would be the next area, and I do have some there. I would say that comes out of my DeFi wallet, where most of the stuff I'm looking for is like short-term yield. The meme coin stuff, man, you got to keep your eyes on it like on a regular basis. especially if you're doing like short-term meme narratives that are popping off, like new tokens that are going off. So it's a way more difficult thing to do. It's in the sense that it's just more time consuming. You definitely, I think, can make money, but you're not hitting 100% of the time. And I just firmly believe that I'm better off having a job and growing the Bodago's business than I am trading meme coins. So that's basically my main thing. I'd love someone to be trading it for me. I think Spencer is potentially adding that. I don't know. I don't want to speak on behalf of him, so I have no idea. But I think he may be adding meme coin allocation to his fund, in which case I'm like, dude, let me just give you the money.
Yeah.
And you deal with it. And like, he's done great so far. And I just love that he develops a thesis. And I'd rather be like, yo, here's some amount of cash. Good luck. Like, you go take care of it.
Yeah. I bought like, I have like $1,500 in Bonk, and I staked it for 6 months. And I'm just like letting it, I don't even want to think about it.
I like that play a lot. We had talked about this. I talked to Pio about it too. And I was like, I'd rather buy Bonk than Doge here personally. Like, just because of the Coinbase listing, I also just bought 2 sharks.
Woo! Let's go. Let's go.
So, got out the market, you know, kind of just move a little bit. No one get in. I bought higher than everyone else, but yeah, these things are cooking right now. Now I'm going to go borrow against them.
Let's go. We'll keep us posted. Well, anyways, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to have Mike on the show. He's the CEO of CryptHulu Studios, the team and the company behind Dimension X. Mike, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's early in Chicagoland, but happy to be here.
Let's go. We're excited to have you on. I want to give the audience a little bit of context, and I want you to explain in 60 seconds or so kind of what Dimension X is, how people can get involved. But first, I'd actually like to provide a little bit of context, because we met via a video chat about 2 weeks ago, and what blew me away, or what got me excited about what you guys are doing, is the approach of that's kind of unorthodox, which is launching the game and the NFT at the same time.
Yeah.
First, right, is people launch the NFT, they mint it.
Hold on, they have a product? What is going on here?
Yeah.
Crazy idea. But anyways, Mike, that got me really excited, because like, you guys have this approach of building side by side with the community. You did a free mint for your NFT as well. So a lot of things are super interesting, and I'm excited to dive in a little bit more, but I'll let you take it away and kind of give our audience, who might not be super familiar with Dimension X, on what you guys are and a little bit of context.
Yeah, thanks for having me. So Dimension X is a free-to-play game. It's been out for about a year and a half now on the Flow blockchain, and we've been out since last August on the Ethereum blockchain. I think we're pretty unusual in the NFT space, because we ship actual products that you can play, and then we continue to support them and update them. We got into the Web3 space and took a couple things at face value, right? We were like, well, one, why would you have NFTs if they don't have utility? What's the point? If they don't do anything, then they're just collectibles. So we said, all right, what's the best way to kind of capture that ethos? The best way for us is, let's ship a game on the day that we do the mint. And we did that on the Ethereum blockchain and on the Flow blockchain at the same time. So the game was fully playable on the day that people are minting and actually getting NFTs. The second thing that we believed really strongly is, we were hearing a lot in Web3, like, oh, we're building this shit together, right? Like, we're in this together. And I was like, well, are you really in it together if you just de-risk the entire project to the tune of 7 figures on the back of your community, right? Like, if you do a paid mint, and then you're like, no, after you guys pay us a bunch of money, then we're in it together. It's like, nah, that's not how being in it together works. If you want to be in it together and build together, then start free, right? And the risk there is obvious. My wife, who doesn't know a lot about NFTs, was like, well, what happens if the community thinks your NFTs aren't worth anything? And I was like, sweetie, I got some bad news for you. They're not going to be worth anything. She's like, well, what happens if they think they're worth a lot? And I was like, well, then they're theoretically going to be worth a lot. But it's literally driven by player perception, the player base, and the approach. And then we've done the hard thing, and I told the team this was going to be equal parts good and bad. And I think after a year and a half, I think that's basically been what it is, which is, you know, we do a weekly design stream with the community and they give us the hardest questions we can answer. And then we implement feedback into the game based on what they tell us. So we'll put out design ideas and they'll be like, that's stupid. And we hate you. And I'm like, good feedback. Cool. Can we be a little more constructive though? Like, what specifically about this feature don't you like? And then we'll go into details on these specific areas need to be fixed. This is the feedback from the community and we run with it. The game presents super simple. So if you're looking at the game right now, what you're doing is taking heroes, dragging them on the board, and you're trying to match the powers on the heroes with the powers on the nodes. So if you see like Nuke, you want to put a Nuke hero on there, Blade, Ice, etc. The key here is that those arrows pass DPS. So you're passing a portion of the damage per second that you're dealing on any one of those nodes to another hero. And then that gets infinitely complex, right? We have tons of heroes, tons of different power-ups, tons of gear. Typically what happens when people play the game for the first time is they put the heroes on the board and then they look at us and they're like, is that it? And then you're like, wait. And they're like, wait, what happens? Like, which board should I play on? Who should get gear? Which kind of team should I be building out? Like, how do I get in the top 10? Like, how do I actually earn in-game currency to mint new heroes? And then it kind of unravels from there, right? We've got stupid retention, and players seem to like the game a lot.
This kind of reminds me of some of those clicker games that I've played before, where you're tapping it, but then you get the auto attack power up or whatever, and then it just becomes a passive sort of thing, and you check in periodically, and you're like, right. Oh, I'm on level 3076 or whatever it is. One of the challenges with those, though, and it looks like your gameplay is slightly different here, because as time remaining, I don't know what that means. Like, so basically what it looks like you're just trying to accumulate is some sort of like a attack point level here. Like
Yeah. So if you back out of this quest and look at the leaderboard, you can see the amount of DPS you're dealing relative to everybody else on that quest.
So that's damage per second.
That's right. And every quest is a PvP quest. So every other player is playing against every other player at the same time on Dimension X. The idle game mechanics that you talked about, one of the reasons that we're doing it is because we're fucking old, right? And I used to have a ton of time to play games for hours and hours. Now I don't. But I still want kind of the feedback of playing a game, and idle mechanics do that really well. They allow you to put in like a minimal amount of time to get a lot of experience as a result of it. The other reason that we did this, and I think this is relevant to every other part of the conversation this morning, like everything that you guys are doing in Web3 right now is you spend a lot of time like thinking, right? A lot of time analyzing, thinking, reading Twitter, looking at Discord, listening to spaces, thinking about the strategy of what you're going to do. But the actual actions you're doing aren't that much. You're buying and selling, right? And you don't do that very often, right? I think a lot of Web3 games that are trying to appeal to this audience are missing that point, right? They're like, oh, we made a first-person shooter and it requires you to play for like 5 hours a day. It's like, I don't have 5 hours a day. I guarantee you guys don't have 5 hours a day to play a game. I barely have 45 minutes to an hour. Right. And that is not at all reflective of your experience in Web3 either. So we wanted to build a product that was holding a mirror up to the normal behaviors that you guys are doing in Web3 on a daily basis. And we thought idle mechanics were really good in that regard.
Interesting. So I'm still curious about the gameplay itself in terms of one of the challenges that I found from the clicker games, the distinction. Well, it sounds like it resets periodically, basically, and then you're just playing against other people. So you may implement a new strategy, let's say. And if you don't come back, it'll just keep using the same strategy that you've implemented right now. But then each time, I guess you're earning some sort of other point system at some point that you can use to buy items that you can then use to modify the strategy that you have in play at that point in time, correct?
Yeah, you got it. So every quest is a timed quest, right? So there'll be like a 4-hour quest, a 48-hour quest, a week-long quest, and we have even longer ones. So depending on how you want to play the game, you can be like, look, I'm going to check in once a week. I'm just putting my guys on the week-long, and that's it. I don't want to deal with it. There are other players who are playing every 4-hour quest and like waking up in the middle of the night and putting their heroes on 4-hour quests, and they can get a lot more they can get a lot more progress relative to their team size if they play more actively. The benefits that you get, characters will level up, right? So when a quest ends, you get XP for each of the characters that was on that quest. You get faction XP, which unlocks bonuses. So those little icons in the middle of the screen on the left, every quest has a faction. You get faction XP for every quest you complete. You earn power tokens. So the powers on your heroes, the little icons in the upper left-hand corner, you take those tokens and you can upgrade the heroes with those power tokens. And then there are certain quests that give away crafting materials and you can use that to craft weapons that you can put on your heroes and make them better. The ultimate goal is to earn the in-game currency, which is called Thule. It's a, once you get 1,000 Thule, you can mint a new hero, and that's an NFT. So that's what everyone's working towards, and only the top, you know, handful of spots on any given quest give out that in-game currency.
Okay, so and Thule is also this, is that the same currency that can be used to purchase upgrades?
No, it's totally separate. So there's a, we decided this is, again, something that's unusual. I think when you see a lot of play and earn games, they're like super complicated in terms of how you actually get rewards, right? Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, we gave you a dog token, but then you got to lease that dog token out to get cat tokens. But the exchange rate between dog and cat tokens changes based on a lunar cycle. And you're like, what the fuck? What are we talking about here? Like, super confusing. This is like, I'm good at the game. I beat other players. I earn an in-game currency and I can mint a hero. Very simple. That's it. Every other currency is used to make you better in the game. The Thule currency is used to actually like mint new heroes.
And you can use those here. I can go buy one of these heroes and use it in the game as well. So it goes both ways.
That's exactly right.
That's really awesome. One of the challenges that I found from some of these things. So in this case, levels, I don't know, is there like you're leveling up your characters? Is there some, like in the auto clicker things that I've used before, one of the challenges I've found is that like there's like a cliff to how long it lasts from an entertaining side. You basically hit the max level and like number go up infinitely, like at a pace that is absurd. There's numbers that I've never even heard of that just like show up and you're like, okay, this kind of got boring in that case. It sounds like you're avoiding that in this scenario by not implement, like that's not, it's more about the interaction between the people and ranking on the leaderboards, right?
Yeah, we like to say that there are like three games. Dimension X is one game, but there are three games going on at any given time. There's the game that you're playing right now. There's a separate game in Discord where folks are like doing research on who they're playing against, what kind of teams they're fielding, because you can't see other people's teams and their strategy. And every board is ruled differently, so the strategy on every board is different. So players are kind of pumping each other for information or putting out false signals. They're like, yeah, I'm totally going fire on that board. And then I'll look on our server side and be like, yeah, that's bullshit. You're not going fire on that board. But they're saying that to lay a false trail for opponents on Discord. And then there's the marketplace game too. So like all these things kind of work in concert, but the way that you avoid some of the staleness there is twofold. One is PvP, so players competing against each other. And the other one is continuing to build out features. So we're getting a lot of feedback recently from our community. They're like, hey, the game's been around for a while. I have some heroes that I thought you were good or in previous seasons were really good, but now they kind of stinks. What can I do with them? Because there's not a lot of, like, nobody wants to buy them from me, essentially, and I don't want them in my collection. I was like, well, the secondary market's its own thing, and we kind of look at that as player-driven and controlled. But you having something that you don't want, that's a game problem, right? That is a existential issue with a game. If you look at your collection, you're like, I don't like it. Because that's corrosive to the motivation to play the game. So we created the Ronin and Samurai trade-in mechanic. So what we did was like, all right, trade it to us. Like, you have heroes you don't want. That's fine. I want them. Trade them to me. And then you can craft new heroes. And those new heroes work together as a team. And that was trade in 4 regular heroes and you can make a Ronin, and then trade in 4 Ronins and you can make a Samurai, and Samurais and Ronin work together as a team. The thing that we found is players really like that. We went from having 200 heroes in our wallet to 1,765 heroes from trade-ins. So like an enormous amount of NFTs moved from people's wallets that they didn't care about and were used to craft new heroes. And we're like, yeah, this is what it should look like, right? You should, like, the game, your NFTs should have utility not only to play the game, but utility to create new things as well within the game structure. So we pushed that probably like a 2 months ago, somewhere along those lines, but a big hit.
Well, I love it. It seems like a really cool game. I want to check it out. And I feel like we should do a clip going through like the actual gameplay of it in more in depth, because Clemente, based on the clicks that I just saw, has no idea what the hell he's doing within the game. So.
Well, Mike, just to confirm here too, this is on Flow, right?
This is on
ETH Gas.
So you can play it gas-free on Flow. And that's, I think, particularly one of the things that we launched on mainnet on ETH, right? And we're like, look, that's where the most liquidity is. If we're going to ETH, we should do that, right? So we did that, and it's what you expect. There's gas. And players like, I fucking hate gas. I was like, yes, I know you do. But there's also a ton of liquidity on ETH mainnet. The great news there is there's a Flow version of the game that has no gas, right? The entire game is gas-free. And there's a ton more content on the Flow version than there is on the Ethereum version, right? There's types of heroes that you haven't seen before. There are skins from different events that we've run in the past, so there are unique heroes. There's tons of custom heroes that don't exist on the ETH side. So we feel like the two side-by-side really complement each other, right? If you want to play on ETH, that's where most of your assets and liquidity is. Awesome, play there. If you want to do a gas-free version, you can play on Flow. And the whole thing's free to play too. So if you just want to try the game and you're like, I hate it, this isn't for me, no harm, no foul.
And I want to talk very briefly before we wrap about the upcoming quest you guys did.
Yeah, man.
Added some Bodago's inspired sidekicks, and I believe the quest is already live. So if you maybe can catch our listeners up to speed on what that is and how they can get involved.
Yeah. So sidekicks are account bound heroes. If you start an account today, you'll get a Bodago sidekick. It's a cute little Bodago dog, right? Use him on the board. I think the level that we agreed on is level 5. So you get him up to level 5, and then you qualify for a random drawing of a Bodago inspired NFT. So we've got a bunch of those. They look awesome. Those are NFTs that are usually prized after. So we've done a bunch based on other projects as customs. These look awesome. So if all you have to do is just play the game, and then you have a chance of getting an NFT.
Play the game, win a Bodago, not the official Bodago, a Bodago inspired NFT. You know, actually, this wolf-like one, looks very fit. We had considered 8-bit art at some point for another PFP that we were working on. Anyways, and seems similar to some of the stuff we were conceptualizing.
Yeah, the pixel art stuff is nostalgic, right? I'm 40. So I look at pixel art and it's just like childhood memories. And for people in my generation, it's the same thing. I mean, part of it's taking advantage of nostalgia, which is a mental illness, but I'm okay with that.
You're young, dude. 40. I'm turning 42 on Friday, so
You're in the same camp. You look a hell of a lot younger than me because you're not rocking a giant gray beard.
It's because I haven't gone through puberty yet, actually. So I can't grow hair on my face.
One day, we're all holding out hope, man.
One day, I think, yeah, somewhere around 50, I'll probably be able to grow hair on my face. Anyways, Clemente, was there something else you wanted to say?
No, Mike, thanks so much for joining us. For people that are, I saw a lot of commenters being really excited about wanting to play the game, getting involved. Seems like the most basic call to action is just go to dimensionxnft.com and then follow you guys on Twitter at dimensionx_NFT. And then we're also doing a little giveaway of some of these heroes on Twitter, which you can check out the pinned tweet. Anything else people should know about before we wrap?
We have the best community in Web3, right? Like, our Discord is full of really helpful people. right? I think one of the things that we pride ourselves on is our Discord is full of real people. And if you're a jerk, we throw you out. So it's basically composed of people you'd actually want to spend time with. So if you come to our Discord, our community is going to be super helpful for you. And you're probably going to make friends with people. It's a unique experience in Web3, I'd say.
Absolutely. And yeah, I mean, you guys have, and from what I've interacted with in terms of your community, you have a core community that likes the game, most importantly, which is like they're able to play it. And it's not based off of like speculation based community. It's like people just really like the game. They like interacting with it and they like kind of building a side by side with you.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. If the expectation I'd have coming into Dimension X is it's a game first and foremost, always, right? We're game developers. We think Web3 introduces some interesting mechanics to the game itself, but like it's always about the game, playing the game, engaging with the game, and having fun with it, first and foremost, and always.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Mike, thank you so much for coming on. This is Mike, the CEO of Cryptulu. Am I saying that like Cryptulu? No,
that's all right. It's literally the worst name company on Web3. It's Cryptulu, but don't worry about it.
Cryptulu Studios, the company behind Dimension X. Mike, thanks so much for coming on. Go check out the game at DimensionXNFT.com. Mike, thanks for joining us. We are wrapping up the show. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. We will be back same time tomorrow, 9 a.m. Eastern time, and we will see you all then. I'm going to take